Okay, today is Wednesday, January 11th. This is the Women's Chumash Share. We're in the middle or towards the end of Perek Yudbet of Sefer Bereishis.
Okay, Rabotai.
Okay. Okay, I'd like to dedicate the shir in the memory of Yehoshua ben Yehuda Perlcohn's father, and that hopefully he'll be proud of the fact that you've made a long-standing commitment to learning. I'm sure he would be. We read almost the end of the parak. We're going to try to finish the parak today. We're in the midst of the episode of Avram coming to Mitzrayim, asking Sarai to say Achoti hi. We saw a variety of comments about it. Then she's brought to Beit Paro, and we'll see what happens in Paro's house. But we actually left off in the middle of the Alshich's many questions, multiple questions. And as you will see from his answer, his questions are far more powerful than the answer. The questions that he asked, if you remember correctly, was why in the world did Avram leave Canaan in the first place? This hunger is not described as being a regional one. It was a very local one. So if it's a local one, where was the locality of it? In the southern part of Israel. He could have gravitated north, gone somewhere else. Why did he have to go to Mitzrayim? That was one question that he asked. Question number two was, and especially in light of all the promises that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made to him, that he's going to protect him and give him the land, you know, why do you abandon the land so quickly? Second question that he asked was, if Avram, as he's entering Mitzrayim, at least the way Rashi says it, he sees that these people are dark-skinned, they're not going to react too favorably when they see Sarai. So why didn't he just make an about-face, make a U-turn, you know, ask ways for other directions, and head somewhere else? What do you have to continue going into Mitzrayim if these were the conditions which he is anticipating? Why did he do that? Thirdly, he said to Sarai, Imri no achosiat. His hope was, just a simple reading, that's how Rashi learns, that he will not be killed. And what happens to Sarai? We don't know what happens to Sarai, but he won't be killed. So he asks, firstly, that what makes you believe that the Egyptians would be more committed to the prohibition of lo tirtzach than they are to lo tinaf? You know, why are they going to violate that and not this one? If these are immoral, unethical people who don't care about somebody else's wife, or another woman by that matter, why would they care about lo tirtzach? Why was he so convinced that they would necessarily observe the law of lo tirtzach? And fourth, how did he expose Sarai to that type of danger? Put her in an uncompromising position. Let's assume they had believed her, as they apparently did, that she was his sister. How could he set her up for such a thing, to expose her to the people of Mitzrayim, just because the benefit that he would get out of it, especially according to Rashi, was that he'd be getting gifts. And number two, that he'll be spared. That seems to be a pretty selfish perspective from somebody who we regard as one of the Avot. Very selfish. So I'll show you what he says, whether you like it or you don't like it. Let's see what he says in order to answer. This is again the Alshich. It's on page, on the bottom of page 1. We read the questions. Now we're going to see his answer.
Okay.
V'hine ein safek ki el Elohim Hashem, God, in a multiple of names, choshev machshavot levilti yidach mimenu nidach. When God entertains a thought, nothing can push it away. Nothing can push it away. Umitakein mereishit acharit. From beginning to end, God can see through His plan, what He thought. There are no obstacles, as we all encounter, in no obstacles whatsoever when HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans something or decides on something, as opposed to a human being. V'hine ki v'hu ki hine galui haya lefanav yitbarach she'atidin Yisrael liglot Mitzrayma va'achar kein la'arba galuyot. God knew that there are going to be four exiles of Am Yisrael. There's Galut Mitzrayim, there's Galut Bavel, there's Galut Yavan, and Galut Edom. Four times Am Yisrael have been oppressed by major powers, and God knows this already. V'hine b'mikomot ashe yitchu shama haya efshar avod yovedun maher bein begalut Mitzrayim bein begulayot acherim. And there was always a possibility that the Jew would disappear, completely disappear in any one of the galuyot. Any one of the galuyot, they are going to disappear. Hit adu liyabei b'mitzrayim. How do I know that what? That they were going to, in effect, disappear, lose their unique identifying qualities in Mitzrayim. Kinoda b'ma'amaram. As it is well known in a midrash, in Parshat, in Sefer Shmot, in Parshat Bishalach, al hapasuk vayavo malach vayelech me'achareihem. An angel, as Paro is pursuing the Jewish people, an angel stands vayavo be'machne Yisrael and machne Mitzrayim. So one of the interpretations of the Midrash is that this angel simply doesn't know what to do. Should he allow the Egyptians to attack? Or should he attack the Egyptians? And the Gemara says, the Midrash says, what was his dilemma? Halalu oivdei avodah zarah, v'halalu oivdei avodah zarah. I don't see any difference between the Egyptians and the Jews. They're both idolaters. I don't see any difference. So why should I decide to spare one and murder the other? Shahayu nitunim badin, the last line, im ligael, im liyabed. They were standing in judgment. That's what this Malach Elohim was doing. Judging, weighing his alternatives. Allow the Egyptians to attack and wipe them out, or somehow intervene and spare Am Yisrael. V'gam b'sefer ha-Zohar omer. The Zohar already elaborates on this. Everybody's heard this. She'im ha-yushohin od ma'at sham. Had the Jew remained in Mitzrayim another 5 minutes, lo hayta lohem tikuma. They could never have risen from what? Sheyishtaku b'koach hatuma. They would be so immersed, sunk into the powers of tumah, spiritual impurity, that there would have been no way to what? To purify themselves. B'nei shehayu ovdei avodah zarah. V'lo shava lomo. They wouldn't be worth anything. Anything. That's nice. That's very nice. What ultimately do you remember what the Midrash ultimately said was the deciding factor? Why God decided to kill the Egyptians and allow the Jews to survive? They're both idolaters. What? No, no, that's not that one. Because they are rachmanim v'lo achzariim. Because they are compassionate people and not cruel people. So God said, okay, yes, you're right, they worship idols, but at least they're compassionate to other people. The Egyptians apparently were cruel, achzariim, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have to go.
But at that point, they were already considered the chosen people. I mean, like,
no, not yet.
Moshe was chosen to take them out of Mitzrayim. Like, there was already a plan in motion.
Correct.
But then I would think that would be the reason God would say...
Okay, you're right. That sure, you could have... God, just like he knew that, he could have known. But the Medrash chooses to... It wants to communicate to us how important it is to treat people with respect and compassion. That's what it really wants to do. That alone is the deciding factor in God's eyes. Then, continuing, listen to this. This is the Dao's trying to answer all of his questions. Now he tells you on the top of page 2, Ki imash amru rabosenu, the rabbis have said, Arba midot shehayulu b'mitzrayim. The Egyptians had four qualities which were actually positive ones. One of them was the ha'ikariti, and the primary one was shenishmeru me'avon zima. They stayed away from immoral behavior between husband and wife. They did not attack other people's wives. They did not engage and treat women poorly. She'ilmalei kein hayu avudim. Had they not been committed to the laws of respect of a family and respect of women, they would have been completely destroyed. So now he's going to tell us, how did they learn this quality of respecting someone else's? How did they learn and earn that midah? What do you think he's going to say? I'm just going to give you one other hint. He echoes the Ramban's famous statement that everything that happened to the Avot is being done to forewarn us about something that will happen in Mitzrayim or later on in future generations. So how is this now? What's happening? What's happening? No, yeah, and what did he do?
He did not.
They were about to punish. They were going to punish Paro. He had Nigaim, as we will learn. So what lesson did they take out of this episode with Sarai? That you don't mess with another person's wife. And they adopted this permanently. And since God had this plan to protect His people while they will be in Mitzrayim for 210 years, what had to happen? Abram had to go into Mitzrayim. And Sarai had to be taken, because otherwise there would have been no way to communicate this lesson.
It still doesn't support the argument that Abram be my sister.
That is correct. That is correct. It does not answer that particular question, but it does answer the others. What directed Avram? Why did he keep going? Why did he go somewhere else once he knew? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow wanted him to go. And
or you could even say it differently, that if he's kind of influenced the people around Be'er Sheva, and they're all being influenced from Mitzrayim, if he is to go to the root of the problem, go down, get them first, then he can have an impact on the people.
Okay, perhaps. So using this rather convoluted model that there's so many things happening here because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has one thing in mind. I want the Egyptians to be taught a lesson, and therefore I'm going to orchestrate this entire scene. And obviously if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen, he knew that they're not going to kill Sarai, otherwise it would have ruined his plan, and that's not going to happen. So the weakness with this is that it's very easy. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the guiding operative here, then anything in the world is possible. You don't have to struggle with anything in the text, because why did it happen? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen. End of discussion.
He could have made them that way without all this.
That is correct. But he, that's correct. but he wanted them to learn the lesson. How did they learn the lesson? By this particular episode. In other words, by nature, they would not have, never have adopted this. They would never have adopted this. But they saw, Vayinaga Hashem et Paro, God afflicts Paro, so they, Paro probably issued a decree. That's probably what happened. Yes.
But does anybody provide any justification for using Sarah as the object lesson here? I mean, sometimes we say that when something happens to a person that seems not their fault, it is in fact retribution for something they have done but have not been punished for.
Correct.
Does anybody suggest that?
I have not seen anybody comment on Sarah's behavior, good or bad, in that regard.
Well, she kicked out.
She's a pawn.
Really?
In the story, yes.
But she kicked out the guards.
That's later.
And
that's later.
Egypt, because in Egypt.
That's later. It is possible. Yes, that's possible, but not at this point yet. Yeah.
The questions that Yasha asks are really not in congruence with the answers he gives. The answer he gives is much less sophisticated than the questions he asks.
I said that at my opening remark.
So how
that the kasha blight the kasha. His questions are right on the mark. His answer is not as convincing.
So
I said that.
Which is the real Asher? Is it the one who questions like that, or the one who is his
kind of... Well, it happens so often that a commentary asks the right question, but he feels a responsibility. I've got to give you an answer. Instead of just saying, I don't know, that wouldn't look good. So you try to create an answer. The Balei HaTosfos and the Gemara do that all the time. They ask spectacular questions. Some of their answers are less than compelling.
But it still helped.
The Balei HaTosfos, yeah, who developed a new style of learning, never studied the way the Rashi studied or the early Gaonim studied. And their questions are great. Their answers often are what we call a doichik.
Isn't that a problem with faith, though?
No, I don't have any. What's the problem with faith?
Question?
No. There's a famous Yiddish saying, for Nakasha Stabmish. That's all. Our question is just to know the question. Our task is to know the question. Once you know the question, it means you understand what's happening and you can identify the difficulty. If you can't resolve it, okay, there are millions of things we can't resolve. But if you don't get to the question, it means you don't really understand what's happening. Yeah?
So, maybe I'm supposed to know the educational philosophy of this time, but wouldn't it look better to say I don't know sufficient answer? It would just show intellectual
confidence. Some people do that.
Right.
Rashi was known for that.
Right.
Where there is a difficulty in a text and he says, Eini yodea ma balilamdenu. I have no idea what this phrase is coming to teach us. Now Rashi didn't have to say anything because he doesn't comment on every word. And Rashi didn't find any difficulty in the text. It's us who are somehow deficient. But he didn't. He identified. I don't know. I'm not a student of the Al-Sheikh to see if he ever says, I just don't know the answer.
But even the issues of the Chira Hamshi to say that, you know, Abraham sort of was manipulated to...
Okay, so that question, that's philosophy 101. Everybody asked that question.
Right.
That God's knowledge doesn't necessarily dictate and determine what's going to happen.
Right. So at that point, why wouldn't God have imposed the Chira Hamshi on the Egyptians to learn the lesson, you know, to guide them into learning this lesson, instead of going about such a circuitous way to have Abraham sacrifice Sarai? And that was such a well-taken point about Sarai being this pawn, to go about in that fashion, instead of just manipulating the Egyptians' part into doing the right thing.
Okay, you can ask the Rabbi Shalom anytime. Why does anything have to happen? He can manipulate. But he chooses not to manipulate. Who did he manipulate? He manipulated Avram because he wanted to what? He wanted them to teach the Egyptians a lesson. So to some degree, according to the way the Al-Sheikh framed it, God manipulated him. Yes. That had Avram had his free... I mean, he probably would have gone somewhere else once he noticed these Egyptians. And he may have migrated north where there was plenty of food. Why did he have to go down south? Why did he have to go south? Yeah.
Doesn't he do it again?
Who? Yes. That's correct. He did his son Yitzchak. He did the same thing. Yes.
We learned that the Chumash is not a history book. What is the purpose of what are we supposed to get out of this story?
Okay, that's a very good question. What we're supposed to get, if I had to answer that question, I would take the Ramban's perspective. You want to know why our forefathers spent 200 years in Mitzrayim? This is the background for it. Avram is being punished. His children are being punished based on the fact that he went down here. That's correct. That's why. I want to know what caused Shibud Mitzrayim. So that would be the answer. Yeah. Yeah, it's a well-known statement. It's very difficult to accept it. I will just quote Rabbi Yochanan's response. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yochanan had 10 children, and they all predeceased him. One of his students came to him to be Menachem Avil after his 10th child and said, "Can you imagine what your reward in the world to come is going to be?" And you know what he said? Lo mi duv sheikh, v'lo mi uktzeich. I'll trade in all of my olam haba. Give me back one of my children, let alone 10. I'll trade all my olam haba. Give me back one of my children. I think it's a terrible thing to say to somebody. God wants to increase your reward in the next world, so therefore he makes you suffer in this world.
It's a very Christian attitude.
But it's prevalent. It undoubtedly is prevalent. I'm not saying it's not prevalent. I just don't feel comfortable with it.
That's Tzadik Yerallo.
Yes, that might... Okay, that... But that I have a different answer for. That I have, at least have a Rambam to back myself. We see Tzadik Yerallo and it bothers us because we've identified the person as a Tzadik. Says the Rambam. How do you come to that conclusion that he's a Tzadik? Because he looks like a Tzadik? Because he wears his tzitzis out and so on and so on. He has a kapata and he has a nice hadras panim. Says the Rambam, the Torah deliberately does not weigh each aveira and mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got his favorites, but he hasn't told us which ones are they. So one mitzvah can override 500 aveirot. And even if he's the biggest scoundrel on the planet, he does this one thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really likes, and therefore he's rewarded. And the tzaddik can do 5,000 mitzvot, but he does one that has really gotten under the skin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He hates this one. And therefore, he's a Rasha. Rambam says, don't count up. The scale is not to be counted by number of mitzvot. I feel comfortable with that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got his own little cheshbon. How he makes decision whether you're a tzaddik or not. So according to the Rambam at least, if you see a tzaddik suffering, I don't want to say it, assume he's not such a great tzaddik. That's what the Rambam would say. Yeah.
We have proof that the Egyptians kind of didn't learn it completely, if anything, because of Potiphar's wife.
What?
We see that they didn't really, I mean, we have a story.
I forgot who said it. Did the Al-Sheikh himself say that? One second. Yes. The Al-Sheikh himself mentions it. That episode is in effect what taught the male Egyptians to be Gidurim Ba'arayot. That episode happened so that everybody in the Egyptian community can what? Can learn how to conduct themselves.
From Yosef.
And some elaborate and say that when Yosef became the Mishnah Lamelech, he himself or somebody, one of his advisors, popularized. How did this Jew boy become a what? A Mishnah Lamelech? And he told him the whole story. How he got thrown into jail, You know what? I was tempted by Potiphar. I refused. I was thrown into jail. I met the Sar Ashkim, Sar Amofim, and this is what happened. Then I interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. That's why I became. And they somehow learned that. They'll use that same ideal and model of Sarai in relationship to Yosef. Yeah.
Getting back to God orchestrating
yes.
this whole story, how do Chazal know God's intention for things when they come up with statements like that?
They don't.
Where does that come from?
They speculate.
Yeah.
That's what a Medrash does. It speculates.
So it's not really, we don't know.
We have no way of what's wrong. Of course not.
Yeah.
Unless you heard it from a Navi.
Right.
Yeah.
In the area of speculation, would Avram have risked Sarah if she was a mother of his child?
Mm-hmm.
I've often thought about mm-hmm. that. If you, what made her vulnerable if she was the Makala? And only when with her again and Rivka again.
That's a very interesting observation. I don't know. I don't know. I can't answer that question. But it's... I would hope it would make a difference. I don't know. But it's a very good question. Yes?
Do you think Avraham thought that Hashem was going to protect Sarai and that it wasn't really a risk? In other words...
Oh, so that he's going to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection but nothing else?
Right.
I can't rely on him for food, but I can only protect you against these Egyptians.
I'm trying to understand. It's really a very
good.
Difficult.
Good. I agree. So therefore, the easiest thing to understand is just the way the text reads. Avram wasn't perfect. And he made a mistake. Endangering Sarai's life, and that's why the Ramban and others call him out on it.
He made a mistake going to Mitzrayim.
Everything, going to Mitzrayim, and certainly telling Sarai to say Achosiyat.
But to compound and make it again right, and they don't think
an
Asian they'll kill him, and then she won't be an
Asian. Okay, but... And then what's going to happen to her? She'll be taken... So he's setting her up. He's setting her up and protecting himself. It's not... Okay, we can debate this forever. Let's move on. Now, I want to take a page 3 for a moment. The Torah tells us in Pasuk Yud Bet that Avram says, Vahaya, ki yu'u otach ha-mitzrim v'amru ishtozot. If the Egyptians say, see you and say, this is your wife, what's going to happen? V'hargu oti v'otach yichayu. They will kill me and they'll let you live. So take a look at Chizkuni on the right side of the page, on page 3. And it's actually bracketed the wrong one. It's Pasuk Yud Bet, right after the one that I bracketed. V'haya ki yiru otach ha-mitzrim, v'hargu oti v'otach yichayu. Shehein muzharin al eshet ish. Okay, why? Because mudbak be'ishto v'lo be'eshet chaveiro. What does this mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al kein ya'azov ish et aviv imo v'davak be'ishto. Man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, be'ishto v'lo be'isha acheres. Not in someone else's wife. As a result, and this is given to Adam HaRishon. It's part of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. So Avram expects that what? That they will observe it. If I say that you're my wife, they're going to kill me. That's the only way. You're going to be taken in any event. You're going to be taken in any event, there's no doubt. So if what I you say you're my sister, what's going to happen?
At least I'll live.
But if you say that you're my wife, they know that she's off limits, so what are they going to do? They're going to kill me and then take you. Again, a little selfish. But now says, what question were you going to ask on the Chizkuni? And asks himself, in line with his thinking, tell me, what question do you have to ask?
Either way, they're going to take her.
No. Good. Shvichas Damim is also one of the Sheva Mitzvahs that he knows of. Why would they kill him? If the reason why he's afraid is because he says, you know what? You're gone. You're going to be taken. The only thing is, that they know that they can't take you while I'm married to you. So they're going to kill me. Asks Chizkuni himself, well, if they're committed to what? To Arayot, based on the fact that it's one of the seven Noachidic commandments, so is Maida. So what's he afraid of? Let's see what he says. V'im tomar, if you shall ask, halokache muzharim al shvichut damim kishiyatzu min hateva. The Torah doesn't wait until Shmot chapter 20, the Aseret HaDibrot, to prohibit Maida. It already says in Parshat Noach, Bereshit chapter 9, that you are not permitted to take another human being's life. And the Torah even stipulates the penalty. What happens? Damo yishafech. His blood shall be spilled if you take someone else's life. Like that guy Ruf yesterday was sentenced to death, thank God. Sentenced to death. Instead of a taxpayer keeping him alive for who knows how many years. You know, and then even if he's not subject to pardon, what do we have to pay to keep him alive? To watch television and things like that? Give him a haircut? What are you in there for?
Sex change.
Elo Yeshloimar answers the Chizkuni, Shtufei Zimahein. These people are so engrossed in Arayot violations, V'yirbu lachto biritzicha imni uf. And would even what? They would also do Retzach if it facilitated what?
Adultery.
Having relations with this woman. They are so engulfed in Arayot violations that their mind is clouded. On the normal circumstance, they see you walking on the street with your newspaper, they're not going to kill you. But if they know that they can avail themselves of you only on account of the fact, only if what? If they eliminate your husband, that's not going to stop them from killing you. Because they are so shtufei zima, they're so immersed in arayot. Davar acher, a second interpretation. Nicha lahem lachto pam achat b'shvichut damim miliyot chotim tadir be'eshes ish. If they were to just take Sarai and not kill Avram, that means every time somebody has relations with her, they're going to violate the prohibition. Then they're getting a lot of X's in their book. Like this, I take care of that. Just kill Avram, one X, and the rest of the times are freebies. What's the problem? Therefore, Avram once again says, Do me a favor. I want to save my life. You're finished. You're going to be taken in any event. Yes.
So if he's dead, if they're going to kill him, and there's no hope for Sarai, but this way, if he remains alive, perhaps there's something, some plan that he can undertake.
Good. Tell me what Midrashic remark we learned last week, which answers this question. What Midrashic remark answers this question, which is troubling everybody here? Where was Sarai when they came into Mitzrayim? In a box. Why do you think he put her in a box? What was he hoping for? That she'd be on the green light for the Mechas line. Just walk through, don't look guilty, don't look like you're bringing any contraband, just walk right through. That's what you hope. And when you get off at the Newark, at the guy, there's a guy there, right, checking to see if you have any food or look suspicious. They pull you over and they open up your suitcase and they go through every last detail. We just give the guy the card and just walk right by. That's what he was hoping for. That makes sense. Oh, that's according to a Medrash. Yes. So the Medrash, at least we understand, aside from the fact that Rashi commented on what word, Vayhi Ka'asher Hikriv Lavo Mitzrayma, that he came to Mitzrayim. What about him? What about Sarai? It should have been in the plural. Why in the singular? So Rashi said, because what? She's in a box. So all other Pashtanim say, let me just show you one right now. Turn to page 5 for just a moment. The Zelda Chizkuni, Chizkuni's other remark. On the right hand side of the page, in Pasuk Yudalid, Vayihi Kivo Avram Mitzrayma, Lefi HaPshat, according to the simple pshat, she's not in a box. Tala hakatuv biot ho'acherim alav lefi shekulan tuluyim bo. You know why it's in the singular? Because who's leading this trek? Avram's leading the trek. So everybody who was traveling with Avram is subsumed under who? Now he says a very simple proof. How do I know? V'chein k'siv le'el v'yered Avram Mitzrayma afal pi shelo dimo. We are told, and we are told later, that Lot separates from Avram. Well, Lot is living with Avram in Ai and in Beit El, and then he's heading towards Beersheva. Lot's traveling with him. Why doesn't the Torah mention that Lot went to Mitzrayim? Because we understand that. It means Avram and his entire delegation. So there's no question as to why it says in the singular, Vayhi Kivo Avram Mitzrayma. That's the simple pshat. You don't have to rely on a medrash that Sarah was somewhere in a box and Avram was the only person who was passing through the Mechas. Yes?
Rachel just mentioned to me reminds us of
I mentioned that last week. Yes. Correct. I mentioned that last week. Yes. That's why the Egyptians said, "Kol habein hayilod, hayorat tashlichu v'chol habat chayun." Daughters can live. Get rid of the boys. That's correct. Yes.
What's interesting is that Sarah never says that she's Avram's sister. And then when Paro,
we read the Ramban last week. What did the Ramban say? I know. So the Ramban said, "Lo nachon leisha lehakhish et ba'ala."
In addition to everything else.
Okay. In his time, it was inappropriate for a wife to contradict, and it's still true in the Sephardic world. Not the Ashkenazi world. In the Sephardic world, it is still true. Trust me, I've had a. Sephardic women are very different than Ashkenaz women. Very different. Sephardic men, yes, are much more domineering. That's correct. In 99% of Sephardic homes, it is the husband who's wearing the pants. In Ashkenazic one, it's at least 50% the women are wearing the pants. There's no doubt. Yes. So that's how Chizkuni said, I don't need it. It's very simple. Very simple. But at least Rashi, even though he used it as a pretext on the text, the Medrash addresses that answer. What's running through Avram's mind? He's such a selfish person. If he put her in a box, he was trying to get the best of both worlds. I'm alone. Right. And the reason why I said Imina Chosiat was if you're going to be caught. He was hoping that she wouldn't be noticed, and then you wouldn't have to say anything. But if you're caught, if the tax collector checks us, then say you're my sister. Yeah.
Why would he hide her if she's his sister?
Yeah, that's a. Of course.
Because she's a woman.
And then other women like Sarah's entourage?
I would imagine so. Sure. I would imagine so. So let's take a look while we're on page 5. The Torah tells us that that as Avram comes to Mitzrayim, and they approached her, and so on and so forth, the Egyptians said, Achosiyah, right? Vahi kivo Avram Mitzrayimah, vayiru ha-mitzrim et ha-isha. Why? Why did they see and praise her? Ki hi yafa hi mod. Vayiru ota sarei paro, pasuk tedva, vayihalulu ota el paro, vatukach ha-isha beit paro. So the first thing is that lots of people noticed her beauty. Then the ministers of Paro noticed her beauty and said, she is worthy of the king, and she was taken to the king's house. Ula Avram heitiv ba'avura. And unto Avram, they were good to Avram, ba'avura. So take a look at Rashi first in Pasuk Tetzayin. Ula Avram heitiv paro ba'avura. What does it mean? Natan lo matanot. He gave Avram gifts on account of Sarah.
So,
yeah?
We could kind of assume, in a way, that she either said she must, he assumed that she was his sister.
Good.
So maybe she did tell, maybe she did say that.
That what?
That she was his sister. When
good.
When she got there.
Good. Because now, good. Let's take a look at the Radak right below. He says exactly what you said. Says the Radak right below the Rashi, Pasuk Tetzayin on page 5. Ula Avram heitiv ba'avura. Miyad shelakha. The minute Paro seized Sarai, heitiv lo ba'avura. Lefi she'amra. Achihu, because she said that what? She's my brother. We'll soon see someone else who said, absolutely not. That's correct. And that Sarai said, hey, I'm his husband. That, we'll see in a second. Let's see. Umahi hatova, and exactly what was the good that happened? Shesholach lo tzon ubakar ulahana ato, and for his benefit, heitiv imo paro shahaya savur shetihye lo leisha. He actually believed that Sarai is going to be his wife. Abul achar kein. But after he found out that Sarai was the wife, lo piso, he did not try to appease Avram, velo bikesh mimenu michila, he did not ask forgiveness, ela shilcho me'artzo, he just sent them out of the land, velo asa kein Avimelech. Avimelech, when this happens a little later on in the Parsha, and actually in Parsha's Vayera, next Parsha, Avimelech is much more apologetic that he had done this. You set me up by saying Achosihi. Paro just sends her, and I would suggest in a minute, we'll see the text in a second, that it's he sent her angrily, very angry, sent Avram and Sarai away. But according to the Radak, Sarai played along with the game and told Paro, he is my brother. He probably asked her some questions. Who are you? Where do you come from? What's this dude doing here? And she said, yeah, he's my brother. Cooperated with him.
Yeah. Paro would have no need to replace him.
What?
He would have no need, Paro.
No, but after living in that animal, he's already.
I know, but you said it was a sister, so why not? Except that I took her illegally. In other words, there's no need for him at this point to say, to apologize. You set me up.
Right, right. That's true. Okay. Well, Avimelech had the same thing. Sarai also said Achosi at. So why did Avimelech feel the need to apologize? We'll see. We will see what happens. We will see what happens. Yeah?
How long was this period of the time that
It does not tell us how long the period is.
If you're going to get son of a child, there's got to be some time for you to get.
I can't answer that question. I haven't seen a medrash, a text that addresses how long of a time from the time he walked into Mitzrayim was she seized, and then Paro sends all these gifts. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Now, hold on a second. I want to see two other comments of the Radak. Two other comments on the Radak. Go to page 4 for a moment. And the Radak on the left-hand side, he tries to answer some of the questions that were raised by the Alshech 300 years before the Alshech was born. Why did Avram leave Mitzrayim and not simply have faith in God that he would protect him and provide food? If God says, I'm going to give you this land, and he tells him to go to this land, one should assume that God's going to take care of him. So he writes very simply, She'ein ra'uy l'smoch al anes. Now I have no problem with that. But I want you to look up now in your Chumash the proof text that the Radak says the Torah it tells us never to rely on a miracle. He cites a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim. It happens to be in Parshat Re'eh. It's in Va'et Hanan. Lo tenasu et Hashem Elokeichem. Chapter 6, verse 16. Tell me how an unusual read of that pasuk. It is the furthest thing from the pshat of that pasuk.
The
pasuk tetvav, perik vav, sefer dvarim, pasuk tetvav. That's what he says here. That's not the pshat. What is the phrase "lo tinasu et Hashem Elokecha" mean?
Don't test
your God. Don't test him. No right to test him.
Don't ask for a miracle.
Don't test him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? I'm going to do such and such if you do this to me. Don't test him to see if he can respond. There are times when people did. But you and me are not Elio. When we're talking about the moat, Elio had a reason for doing it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquiesced because he felt that otherwise Nevi'ei Habal would be proven as legitimate.
But Moshe didn't get away with it when he hit the rock.
That's not true. Yeah. So the word Lo Tinasu has nothing to do, don't rely on God. It means don't test him, don't challenge him. And Radak is quoting it as the proof text that Ein Sonchin Al Hanes. Lo Tinasu, as if do not rely on a miracle. That's not what the phrase means at all. But it's an interesting perspective that's how, and therefore it's very simple why this event takes place. Furthermore, Radak vehemently argues with Rashi in the next bracketed statement in Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'chait Imrina Leman Yitavli Perusho V'choita Nafshi Biglulech. Perusho Ba'avur Divarcha Shetomri Achotiat. Based on your words, that you will now say, you are my sister, what is the good? The hatova shelo yahaguti. Ki lo nitkavein Avram shiyaasu imo tova acheret. Avram had no intention that he should become the recipient of what? The way Rashi set it up.
Gifts.
We can accuse Avram of trading in his wife for some tzonu bakar? Is that what's running through his mind? That's ridiculous. Afal pisha amar Ula Avram Heitiv Ba'avura, even though it does say that what? Paro was good to Avram, who lonit kaven lakach. That was not Avram's intention. Chalilalo, God forbid for Avram, sheyit kabed biklona, that he should be honored via her shame, kalona shame and disgrace. Ki klona yihye klono, because her shame is ultimately what? His shame as well. V'hatova hahi sheheitiv lo paro lo yishre be'enav. Avram was not happy with the gifts that were heaped upon him. V'lo hayam mikabla, he would never have accepted them. Lule shahaya ba'artso, unless, what was it? He stand there in front of the king. V'hayam mifacheid mimenu, he was afraid. Im ya'ase davar shelo biritzono. And we know, says the Radak, that Avram has refused gifts from other kings. Shaharei mimelech zdom, when the episode of the five kings and the four kings, which Avram participated in, we'll see that's one of the next units, Avram didn't want to accept the nickel. Afal pi shehitzel eshelo, even though he helped the king of stone protect his territory. Ki tov ayin hoya, because Avram had a good eye. What does that mean? Hayat mistapek ba'mesh inasan lo ho'el umamon rav hayelo. It says, I don't need any Dafnishtan toivus. I don't need your favors. I can rely on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to me, and that's it. So here, do not interpret like Rashi, that he interprets the phrase, Leman Yitav Li, is that I'm going to get gifts. How does he interpret Leman Yitav Li? Al Yidei Shechaita Nafshi Begaloleich. You know what the good is going to be? I'm going to be alive. That makes sense. I'll be alive, because otherwise I'm going to be pushing daisies from the bottom up. If you... that's how flowers grow. Do you know that? So the Radak completely disagrees with Rashi. Completely disagrees with Rashi. Furthermore, on the... Yes, go right ahead. I have not. It's a good question. I haven't seen it. I would say because the Egyptians couldn't care less what her name was. Why was she taken? Because she was a woman, a good-looking woman, Isha Yifat Maret. Not because your name is Sarai, but it's a reasonable question. Take a look at this Sfarno on the bottom of the page. Leman Yitav Li. He has a third interpretation of what good Avram was expecting. Lema'an kishitomri she'at ochoti, when you now say that you are my sister, yikaveh kol echad mehem, every one of them will come and propose, she'asi acha lo, that I shall marry you off to who? To this Mr. Hamas. I should marry you off to this Mr. Barak. That's who, whoever comes forward. V'lo yachshov shum echad mehem lehargeni. Avol yetiv li b'mohar u'b'mata. Does anybody know what the words mo? It's quoted from a pasuk in the Chumash. Exactly. It's the nadin. The nadin is the dowry that is provided usually to the father of the bride for what? As an incentive to marry the daughter off to me. Because they know the father's in charge. So here, Avram, the older brother, is going to be in charge. Or Shahayu mifatim et aviha isha b'mohar u'kroveha b'migdanot kedei shiaskimu latet otah. Exactly. Exactly. What are they going to do? It may not be an official exchange like a dowry is, but what's going to happen? You simply want to encourage this person to select me as the potential husband, so you're going to send gifts to this whole family. Send even one of them a box of chocolate. Don't send flowers, send a box of chocolate, which a man can appreciate. And then what happens under those circumstances? But it's again, it's not that he's expecting gifts. In that respect, Radak shakes hands, Asfarno shakes hands with Radak. But what doesn't he necessarily shake hands with Radak in? What does about setting Sarai up for this? Setting Sarai up for this. That he doesn't necessarily agree. But there are now three possibilities what Leman Yitavli means. The simple interpretation is Leman Yitavli, that I'm going to live. V'chaita nafshi b'galaleich. That's the simple interpretation. The drash is matanot. Oh, I'm going to be loaded with gifts because of you, because you're going to be taken to Beit Paro. Third interpretation is, no, Sarai is going to be seen by everybody, and each one of them is going to want to beg me to marry her off to you, to this one, and how they're going to try to influence my decision? By giving mohar umatan, is the dowry. In fact, we learn out, according to some authorities, that ketubah is learned out from that pasuk. That you're supposed to give a ketubah to a wife also from that pasuk. You know, some say it's only midrabanan, but those who can mohar habitulot say, all right, we'll stop here. There will not be any shir, unfortunately, for the next 2 weeks. I'll be in the Holy Land. Thank you.
Have I have an unrelated question. Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, somebody sent saw an email. You can eat Brussels sprouts.
Raw? I mean, not raw. I mean, like fresh as opposed to frozen. Because the OU book.
Yeah.
This was not what we learned today.
Oh, okay.
The OU book has a book on checking vegetables, and they said that only not to eat fresh ones. That's why I'm asking.
I don't think it's raw.
You don't. And no. Okay. And how do I? And so then, what do I do?
So just can you cut them open a little?
Cut them in half.
Yeah, that's it. That's enough.
I don't have to soak them in salt water.
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
And frozen anything that has a hashgacha. As well.
Yeah. You don't need frozen. Doesn't even need hashgacha.
Okay.
Frozen vegetables and fruits do not need other than
with respect to Pesach. I'm just talking with respect to bugs.
Not a problem.
And doesn't need a hashgacha. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because in Galat Express it has a whatever. Okay, but they say ask my rabbi, so I'm asking my rabbi.
That's all.
Frozen vegetables don't need hashgacha.
That's correct.
And I can wash the berries.